8:05 on an absolutely stunning morning here in Laguna Beach. It's the Mornings with Ed show, and as I've been mentioning all morning long, we have limited beach openings Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Today is day one, and I have seen Laguna Beach local citizens taking advantage of it and exercising proper social distancing. There are several people out with masks, so doing the right things, handling it in stride right now. Life has changed substantially for us over the last 90 days. Harken back 90 days and think about what life was, not just internationally or nationally, but here in our community. It's changed a lot. And as I mentioned a little earlier, I had a conversation with my daughter who is in the mental health industry, and mental health profession, I should say, and I feel sometimes when we're talking that she's probing me as we speak, because she knows I suffer from anxiety. If there's the worst possible thing in my head would be, wow, a virus is killing people. Wow, germaphobe Ed. So I get it. I get the probing questions. There are signs that the coronavirus anxiety, which is what this condition is, has turned serious. So I'm going to give you some of these signs where it may be threatening your mental health and what you can actually do about it. Because enforced lockdowns, isolation from your friends and loved ones, your loss of your job or income or economic stability in general, grief and loss on so many levels from missing milestones like birthdays and graduations to severe illness and death, difficult times made worse by the fear of an invisible deadly enemy who strikes via the very air that we breathe, and understand how that can affect certain people. That's the anxiety-ridden reality of living in the age that we have right now. While some of us might be coping fairly well, experts worry that our emotional resilience will begin to fray as the threat of COVID-19 continues to drag on. We're living constantly with a level of fear, a heightened state of arousal, much like Vietnam veterans and Iraqi vets live with every single day. This is according to trauma counselor Jane Weber, a professor of counselor education at Keene University in New Jersey. She goes on, and our sympathetic nervous system can only stay in that overwhelmed, almost frenetic state for so long before we crash. She counseled survivors and families during 9/11's tragic aftermath. And I know exactly what she's talking about. I think that happened to me a few weeks ago. I was on this absolutely anxious, frenetic pace every day, absorbing more and more of this. And I finally just crashed. It's called chronic threat response. It's the continued state of a chronic threat. And this is according to psychologist Shauna Springer, who has spent a decade working with military veterans suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. Chronic threat response is an escalation of many of the same symptoms associated with post-traumatic stress, sleep problems, floods of anxiety, irritability, difficulties concentrating, and a hair trigger startle response. And what are some of the signs our coping skills are becoming threadbone and our anxieties may turn dark and more dangerous? Well, poor sleep. When nightmares become a regular thing and our sleep quality is consistently bad, that's often the first sign that we may need to take action to improve our mental health. Poor sleep is a double-edged sword. Not only does anxiety create poor sleep, a lack of quality sleep can lead to anxiety, stress, and depression. It's sort of a circular impact. The good news is that exercise and practicing good sleep hygiene can often get us back on track. Also, a focus on bad news. And remember, as we shelter in place, a focus on watching alarming media reports on the growth of the virus and the devastation to the economy is another warning flag. If we're spending our days soaking in this general anxiety and dread about what may happen in a sort of foxhole waiting for bad news, that's another sign that things are getting into a more clinical range with our anxiety. And there's the guilt of taking our feelings out on loved ones, which is likely to happen when you're in close quarters with people for a long time that you haven't really yet adjusted to that. Also, a sign to look for is the loss of interest and pleasure. That's an even more serious sign. That's when we lose the taste for connection to others and stop reaching out to family and friends. When we can't find pleasure in anything, we begin to feel numb rather than connecting with others and doing things that we value or want to do with our lives. That's a sign that we may need help and support at that time. So keep that in mind. Another sign is the helplessness or crippling anxiety that we've all felt at some point. And if the current threat of COVID-19 has reawakened feelings of that helplessness, such as in the face of violence at home or from a loss of identity and purpose after being fired or furloughed from a job, that can also be a key sign of risk, and keep an eye out for that. An overwhelming feeling of helplessness is what often leads to trauma symptoms. Those of us who've been let go from a job can feel as if we've lost our identity due to the absence of the roles and relationships that give our lives meaning. And therefore, we feel helplessness. We're at risk. Helplessness can turn into a dark and crippling anxiety, which is another sign that you might need help. Crippling anxiety is where you feel constantly flooded with feelings of panic and this nameless dread about what might unfold. You don't have a sense of a hopeful future. Anxiety creates tunnel vision, and it really puts us in a state of fight or flight. And we've all been there at some point, I'm sure. But when you're in that state now, and if you feel it now, you might want to get some help. When we're in that survival mode for a prolonged period of time, that's when anxiety goes into a darker phase, and it really warrants getting clinical support at that point. And needless to say, thoughts of suicide, when being so hopeless and anxious that we begin to think of ending our life, that is, of course, a sign that immediate professional help is needed. Absolutely get professional help at that point. Military veterans say this is when whispers of our demons begin to take over. That's according to Dr. Springer. When we start to script out a story in our heads of how others won't miss us or that we're a burden to those that we love, that's a critical sign, and immediate help is needed at that point. And if you know someone who's suffering those symptoms, get them immediate help. So some of the things that we can actually do to help ourselves get out of that funk: reach out and connect, not just physically. Okay. The first thing to do is to stay socially connected with your friends and loved ones, even though you're physically apart. Technology, of course, is a great way for all of us to do that. But some in the family, like grandparents, might be adept at using Facebook, FaceTime, and Zoom, for example. Instead of just relying on social media, we can make a list of 10 or 20 people that we care the most about, put them in your phone in a rotating basis, and we're going to call those people, maybe one or two per day. Okay. Next, add more people from your outer ring of friends and associates that you might not be as close to, and put those people into that daily call rotation. That's especially critical if you think those people may be especially isolated right now. If you're reaching out to people who may be even more isolated than you, that's a positive. Another thing to do, and this sounds crazy, but breathe deeply. You know, in therapy sessions, the thing we teach the most is deep breathing. It's free. It doesn't cost anything, and it really works. And here's how to do it properly. You breathe through the nose, you hold it, and then exhale very slowly through your mouth, out like you're breathing through a straw. And when you breathe slowly out, you improve your whole picture of life and you reduce your nervousness. No kidding. It works. Take time to practice gratitude. Science has shown that people who practice gratitude are happier and more optimistic, and you can easily teach yourself how to do it. Everyone in scary times should write two or three things each day of what you're grateful for. I have a friend who's doing this right now. Everyone, again, I'll say it. If you're in scary times right now, write two or three things each day of what you're grateful for. It shifts your entire worldview. Okay? I do that. I don't actually write it down, but I think to myself every morning as I'm ready to leave the house of the things that I'm grateful for, the many things I'm grateful. And it turns out that's turning out to be a pretty long list, you know, at this time. And be conscious about actually taking control of your mental state. Fight back against anxiety turning darker by taking control of how you think. One of the ways to do that is to take out a sheet of paper, put a line down the middle, and on one side, write down the things we can't control right now, and on the other, write down the things you can control. And then you form a plan of action that allows us to move on these things that we can control. This stops us from soaking in that feeling of helplessness, or if you'll just be sitting in a foxhole and waiting for more bad news. It really alleviates that. We're actually moving on things we want to be doing with our lives, even if there are some very challenging circumstances right now. Now, for some people, that may not feel possible, especially if you lost a job or you were furloughed when the economy came to a screeching halt. You know, losing a job is a seismic stressor, one of the most stressful things that can happen to you. But you can sit and ponder on your negative situation, or you can use that time to learn something new, or deepen yourself, or gain some skill. And another thing you want to do is establish a schedule. Our days and nights right now, as you know, are blending together, and a lot of people are finding themselves working far more hours, if they can't work, fretting about finances. One way to fight back is to establish a schedule that separates your work or job search from family and playtime. Especially exercise, which, by the way, is critical for boosting our mental mood. Meditation or mindfulness are also excellent options to schedule into your day. So we have to create routines in order to get through this absolutely surrealistic world that we're living in right now. And be careful with media. And this is one that I say it, but I don't, you know, I'm always digging deep. I'm always reading something from somewhere or watching something from. But really, be careful with media, and especially social media. Be sure to limit the amount of time you spend watching the news, especially if it makes you anxious. If you're one of those people who gets anxious after watching the news, don't do it that often. Okay? There's a lot of misinformation on social media. Social media is poison. Okay? So don't get your news. Don't get your information from social media. Actually go to the Journal of American Medicine. Go to places that are reputable to get your health news, to get your numbers, to get that stuff. Stay away from social media, or go to actual legitimate media sources, right? Go to the network news. Legitimate media sources. Social media, absolutely not. And this is going to sound crazy, but crack a smile. You know, if you want to get through this anxiety, crack a smile. It's long been said that laughter is the best medicine. And as a comedian, I can tell you that. It's true. You can't be anxious and smile at the same time. That's a physiological thing. So as often as possible, watch funny movies, listen to comedy routines, ask everyone you talk to on the phone to tell you a joke. Whatever it is, crack a smile at some point. I promise you that helps. And above, stay optimistic. There are so many unknowns when it comes to this new disease that's terrorizing the world. Will it ease over the warmer summer months? And, you know, it's not going to ease, because I'll be honest with you. I have to be honest and give you the facts. In Arizona, the numbers are rising, and Arizona has had a couple of days into the 90s, and they're expected to get into 100, and the numbers are still going up in Arizona. So warmer summer months so far doesn't mean anything, you know, but don't worry about that. Just stay optimistic. I consider optimism both healthy and an Achilles heel, because, of course, being too optimistic might let you down. But if I had the choice, optimism is always better than pessimism, right? So those are just some things to get through the anxiety. And again, if you want to go over some of those, don't hesitate to call me here at 949-715-5936, 949-715-KXFM. It's 8:19. And you and I, are going to get through this together. Coming up during the 9 o'clock hour, it's the Personal Stash and Escape. Welcome to the program. It's the Mornings with Ed Show.